the drama. Nobody's gonna rain on my parade. So rain on my parade. So rain on my parade. So rain on my parade.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Turn her face away. She's uncertain if she likes him, but she knows she really loves him. It's a crash course for the rest. It's a driving Saturday. Young, the foreman prayed away. It's hard enough to keep formation with this fallout saturation. Cursing at the astronaut who stands and still by his cabinet. He's crashing out with Sylvia. The bureaus apply for aging men. With snorting head he gazes to the shore. Once had rage to see the rage. No more like the video film bizarre. His name was always Buddy, and he's shrugging it ass to stay. She sighed like with the wonder kid and turned her face away. She's uncertain if she likes him, but you know she really loves him. It's a crash course. It's a driving Saturday. His name was always Buddy, and he'd shrug and he'd ask to stay. She'd sigh like with the wonder kid and turn her face away. She's uncertain if she likes him, but you know she really loves him. It's a crash course for the Raiders. It's a driving Saturday. Driving Saturday. It's a driving Saturday. It's a driving Saturday. It's a driving Saturday. It's a driving Saturday.
91.5 WMFON Medford. It is a crash course for the Ravers show. Today I'm joined with my bootleg Dan.
Yay!
He's in the background talking to the Sins. I guess the Sins are going to call in.
Yep, they're
going to call in 1:30. Sounds good. And later on he'll be telling you spring stuff you're up to. Right on, right on. He doesn't have a mic, but I think you heard him. I hope. Hey, it's Lou Reed's birthday. So all hail to the King of New York. And we'll play some Lou Reed, Little Velvet Underground. Do that probably right up till we hear from the Sins. Start with a long one so I can look up other stuff. It's Heroin.
Just where I'm going, but I'm going to try for the kingdom if I can, 'cause it makes me feel like I'm a man. When I put a spike into my vein, then I tell you things aren't quite the same. When I'm rushing on my run, I feel just like Jesus' son, and I guess I just don't know, and I guess that I just don't know. To try to nullify my life, 'cause when the blood begins to flow, when it shoots up the trumpet's neck, when I'm closing in on death. wish that I was born 1,000 years ago. I'd sailed the darkened seas on a great big clipper ship, going from this land here to that. I'd put on a sailor's suit and cap.
Thank you. Velvet Underground. You're allowed to dance, in case you didn't know. And that's about it. It's called I'm Waiting for the Man, a tender folk song from the early 50s. About love between man and subway. I'm sure you're all enjoying.
Yeah. of revulsion, sickening sights. My heart's nearly bursting, my chest choking tight. Waves of fear, waves of fear, waves of fear. Squat on the floor, looking for some pill. The liquor is gone, blood drips from my nose. I can barely breathe. Waves of fear, I'm too scared to leave. Waves of fear, waves of fear, waves of fear, waves of fear.
I'm too afraid to use the phone, I'm too afraid to put the light on. I'm so afraid I've lost control, I'm suffocating without a word. Crazy with sweat, spittle on my jaw. What's that funny noise? What's that on the floor? Waves of fear, pulsing with death. I curse at my tremors, I jump at my own step. I cringe at my terror, I hate my own smell. I know where I must be in hell. Waves of fear, waves of fear, waves of fear, waves of fear.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Ninety-one point five WMFO in Medford. Just trying to get my CD player going, and here's some brand new Sins, and they'll be calling in right after this. from The Sins. The album comes out in a month. Little Miss Lost is the album. That song was Crow-Haired Boys. And hopefully, if everything's going right, I got The Sins right here. Hey, guys.
Hey, Brian.
What's going on? Who do we have?
Yeah,
we have
March 29th, so now we're on the countdown to less than a month. Finally. It's been ready to go for a while now, so we've just been biting at the bit.
I'll just fill them all up, Dan. I don't know.
Three.
Okay, I got Bootleg Dan with me.
Hey, hello.
Dan. Hi, Dan.
How we doing?
Hi, everybody in Radio Land.
So you
going? Can Dan hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
So you're going to L.A. in what, a week?
We're going to L.A. We're leaving Wednesday morning.
Nice.
Flying Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. You know, the beautiful thing with the charts and stuff like that with the bands is that everybody's aware of each other. So even the bands in L.A. know some of the bands in Boston and vice versa.
Right.
So it's really exciting when you can actually go to where people are from and play with them on their turf and, you know,
certainly,
see the kind of clubs that they play in and how their audiences are.
Yep.
Not to mention you're playing with bands on Rumbar Records out of Boston.
Yeah.
You're on Rumbar?
No, they're playing with the Slam Denistas.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's going to be very cool.
And the Glimmer Stars are also on Rumbar.
Yeah. And I think Tony Valentino is he with Wicked Cool or is he with Big Stir?
Big Stir.
But it's a big happy family, all the labels, anyway.
So you're going to do the Viper Room, right?
Yeah, that's surreal to me. That is completely surreal to me because I cannot believe we're playing that room. And that room is still standing for us to be able to play in the original one because they will be building a new one from what I hear.
Oh, good. Well, it's good. It's not totally going away.
Everybody's played the Viper Room.
Except for me.
I want to play within the walls of all the ghosts that played there and all the people that are still around that will probably, you know, come in from time to time and still play there.
I've never played L.A., but I was just telling Dan, my band actually has, like, an open invitation to play the Whiskey. We just got to get out there.
Well, you got to do it.
I'd love to.
We don't know how long these bars are going to still stay. I mean, everything changes.
Right.
You know, you want to get in and be in those walls and play with, like, all the history.
I only have so much funds. I just don't want to lose my shirt on it, you know?
We always lose our shirts on.
You can get another shirt.
Yeah.
Another shirt.
No, I mean, you know what? If I go in debt and I die, they're not going to be able to come after me in the ground, so I can't worry too much about it.
Yeah. So who am I talking to? It's Cindy. Is Henry there?
Yeah, Henry.
Hey, Henry.
Henry Sy, at your service. I just got back from the docks picking up the latest shipment of the brandy new Sins T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, yeah.
I need one of those.
Yeah. Bring
right
the Sins
T-shirt. Right off the boat. They're black and blue, like bruises.
Nice.
like a box full of bruises, rock and roll bruises.
Nah, they're cool. They're really cool.
Yeah, they're very cool.
Sounds good.
So what's happening over in Boston?
What's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
A crash course for the Ravers.
Well, we've been listening, and we try to listen as often as we can. I probably listen to 5 or 6 radio stations as a rule, religiously, and WMFO is one of them because I feel like it's almost like my little living room away from home.
Yeah,
home away from home.
It's your Boston home.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. You know, I think this year, after we get back from L.A., we have a lot of shows in Boston.
Yes,
so
you do.
We're going
many
to be
shows.
A lot of time with Boston and WMFO.
Nice. I saw like advertised somewhere the Sins from NYC, but you're New Jersey, right?
We're half and half. And you know, but the thing is, Henry and I are from New Jersey, but we've always made our fan base in New York. We started out in New York, and we have religiously played in New York for 14 years. I mean, uh-huh. New York was really where most of our I hate using the word fans. It seems so like pretentious, but for lack of a better word, the people that were into our band, our audience was mostly a New York audience, and we pretty much were a staple on the Lower East Side with the other bands, at, you know, of the last 14 years.
Yeah.
We call followers to followers now.
My band's done the Lower East Side probably a dozen times now, and I'll tell you, we're more popular there than here. Like they get us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think having played like a lot now in Boston, I think that Boston and New York City audiences are actually sort of similar in their taste in music. I mean, I think that whole like rock and roll garage, you know, pop punk whole thing is just getting more popular. I'm not sure that it matters what city you go to at this point. I think that like people are just getting it again. They're like,
good.
Going, oh, you know, yeah, we miss that sound. And everybody's going out to shows now for like good rock and roll music. I don't like all the categories because to me it's just rock and roll.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a tendency as humans to want to categorize things and put labels on it. But to me, I think it's just rock and roll. People really miss rock and roll.
Yeah.
It would be like living underwater without rock and roll.
I say the same thing. A lot of people say we're punk, but I'll say we're a rock and roll band.
Yeah, we got that a lot too. We got hung with the punk label kind of rather early, and it was all we could do to kind of shake that. I mean, not that there's
anything wrong
with that.
I don't agree with you. I've always been into punk music, and I really like it, and I think it was, you know, all of our influences and the delivery of our songs. I mean, Once Your Kiss is as punk as it gets.
Well, I like rock and roll. I mean, whenever we sat down to write a song, it was never like, okay, let's write a punk song. It was just, you know, it went where it went.
Yep.
That's what I mean. I mean, if you want to be a person who's into labels and you know, genres, you can hear the influences of every one of our songs. You can tell, like, where our backgrounds are from.
Sure.
Mine is more from punk than anything else, you know, because I worked in the clubs and you know, that's the kind of music that I kind of came up on. But, you know, Henry, you came up on some blues, some R&B, some rock. I mean, like, you can't help but write the way from what you're influenced by. And you put the two of us together, and you're going to get a combination of those influences.
Right.
But I never wanted to be pinned down to a style. I always wanted to just, like, if we came up with a good song, we came up with a good song.
Yeah.
Well, right. Well, that's what I was saying, you know, like, if you get hung with, like, a label, then, like, oh, they're a punk band, let's, you know, what's, you know, and then...
I think we get that a lot, like, you know, do we want to book this punk band? You know, I don't know.
If it's good music, I like it, period.
Right.
You've got a power pop undertone on the new record, though, which I didn't hear on the first two records.
Did you hear that, Cindy?
I would agree with that. I mean, we were also influenced by a lot of the people that we were working with in the studio. You know, a lot of the production values that we kind of became exposed to by working in different facilities kind of lended that vibe. To the material, which I don't reject. I mean, I love...
No, man, everything is an influence, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody was telling me, they asked me a question, what do I need to do to protect my music so that if I write something and I unconsciously might sound like this song or that song that I don't get sued, I'm like, you can't write that way.
No, you can't.
I mean, like, there's only so many notes to a scale.
Yeah.
And when you write, you know, you're using your subconscious. You're using your consciousness. You're using everything that makes you to write a song.
Yeah.
Unless you're deliberately, you know, copying a song, and it's so blatantly obvious that you... I mean, how many versions of Louie Louie are with different words are there?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's because nobody understands the original ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... there's so many songs that sound alike that you're always going to be able to sing another person's songs and words to something else you're hearing.
The one I can't, the one that really gets bugs the hell out of me is that Offspring song, "Get a Job," I think it's called, and it's just it's obla di obla da with different lyrics. It's like, why didn't they just cover obla di obla da? It's the same friggin' thing, you know?
Yeah,
drives me nuts.
Nobody's reinventing the wheel. Let's put it that way. It's all been done before.
No, but they do it exact. I mean, it's crazy.
I've never heard the song before.
It's exactly done, and he just sings different words, and they call it their song.
Yeah, that's not so cool. Although music sort of evolves. I mean, if you look at over the course of time, from blues to R&B to rock, you know, everything that came along was like based on something else, you know.
Sure.
Like people took their influences and they said, I'm going to write a song, and so they're going to carry along what they listen to and make something sort of new, you know. And then the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, so on and so forth.
Right.
I think anyway.
Yeah, and then you've got bands like the Black Crowes that just write "Jealous" again with new words, and I love the Black Crowes. But, like, their new song is good as it is, and it's good. But I could sing "Jealous" again right along with it.
Oh, really? I haven't heard it yet.
You know, it's got some really good guitar parts that are different than "Jealous" again. But outside of that, it's the same song.
I might have to find it. Is it on YouTube?
Probably.
Do you know?
I forgot the name of it, but when I've heard it a few times now, and every time I hear it, my brain keeps singing "Jealous" again.
Oh, I want to play it.
Yeah, you probably find it right on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, if a band has a certain style, I mean, you're gonna be able to say, oh, you'll know that band right away because they have that sound. Like, look at AC/DC or the Ramones. You know, you could argue that AC/DC just played like the same song for like 14 albums. You know, but if you're a fan of them, you know that there's differences, but they still have that. Their identifying sound, you know, that's their style.
Mm-hmm.
Identifying sound and literally just doing the same song over again is a little bit different. I mean, the thing about AC/DC was their drum patterns were similar, but the song, just melodically went in a different direction, you know. But this, I love Black Crowes. I will always be a Black Crowes fan. Anybody who knows me knows that. But I feel like they just did an easy, you know, like, oh, we're coming back again in our old style.
Yeah.
And then they put out this song that is so very much like.
Well, they know what their fans want to listen to. I mean, everybody, when I went and saw the three shows from the last couple of years, you know, everybody was saying the same thing. They're back. You know, they're doing what the first two albums. And they're doing it again, and they're adding more players to the game, and it sounds really good.
But it's
not inventing anything new. They're just changing it up a little for the new fans, I guess. You would say the new fans, and then there's the old fans that say, hey, the Crowes still sound like the Crowes.
When I saw them about 15 years ago, it seems so much like the footage I've seen and heard of the Rolling Stones, like, in the early 70s. I was like, whoa, this, like, really takes you back. And I don't know, just a good feel. The Rolling Stones is my absolute favorite, so I was really taken by it.
But they were also influenced by the Faces, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I hear Rod Stewart big time in his voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Steve Marriott as well. I mean, but the thing is, you know, actually, Dan and I have had this conversation before. The Black Crowes of the 90s, as a chick, like, that was the hottest band around. At their prime, like 1993, that era, they were the hottest, coolest, most rocking band. And it wasn't just the music. The music alone was incredible. But they had it all. They had the look. They had the coolness. It was just the whole vibe of the band was completely cool. And then, you know, whatever happened which I can't explain.
Chris smoked too much weed.
Yeah,
Chris smoked too much weed. That was a problem.
Whatever happened, they just decided to go completely the opposite.
And then he grew a beard.
he was leaning into the Grateful Dead.
Okay? Yeah, it wasn't his best look. And the energy, their young energy in 1993, oh my God, it was through the roof. There's some live footage of them, live shows from about 1993 that nobody could have topped them at that time.
Yeah.
And then they took all that energy and it went like completely the opposite way, and they went into like a trance for a few years. And then they're back. And would I have liked them to come back with something that sounded like they really cared enough to do something really new? Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the same energy. But I'm not thrilled with the new song. I'll be honest with you. I love the guitar in it.
Oh, find out what it's called. I want to play it.
I'm going to look on YouTube right now.
So the audience all wants to hear it now.
The guitar is very cool.
Forget the sins. Let's listen to the Black Crowes.
No. I'm not going to play it during this. Trust me, I have three cool sin songs queued up.
That's okay. That's all right.
All right. Think about Rich in the 90s with his crow hair. He was a crow-haired boy.
Rich?
See how I did that?
No, Chris.
Yeah. Chris.
Yeah. All right.
I want to ask Henry a question. Henry, I want to know, is the Flying V going to be flying to L.A.?
I've been going back and forth on that because I'm scared of the airlines and what they do to guitars.
I don't blame you.
I'd like to, if I could. I had this trick with the airlines. Like, we flew to, Sweden a couple times, and I had this thing that I did where I would carry my guitar right to the side of the airplane, and they would say, oh no, you can't go in there with that, and they would just put a tag on it and they would put it like in the belly of the airplane, but it would be like close to the door, like it wasn't handled by all these like big angry baggage handlers. And so when you got to your destination, you came out of the plane, your guitar would be right there. As soon as you come out, it would be, oh, here's your guitar, Mr. Henry. Oh, thank you very much. Have a good day. And so, rather than checking it and have, TSA, breaking it in two and then, giving me back the pieces, I figured that was like a better way to do it. So I think I'm going to try to do that again for the LA trip.
I remember reading about Tom Petty. He used to take his Rickenbacker.
The big tip. So don't tell him I said to do this.
I remember a story about Tom Petty. He used to take his Rickenbacker and he'd buy a seat for it and put it right next to him. I've seen pictures of it before.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. I don't think I want to do that, though.
No.
I think it's called Wanting and Waiting.
Okay, I see it. I'm on YouTube. I'm looking at YouTube right now.
Well, yeah, I think the song that they put out is Wanting and Waiting.
We'll play it right after I do a few Sin songs.
Okay, don't hate people. I still like the song. I just feel like it's a little too close to Jealous Again.
Yeah, which was their first hit.
I still love
hit.
My Black Crowes, so don't hate on me.
Well, that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. If they're recapturing, if they're going back to that kind of vibe after doing,
I don't mind the vibe, but you don't want to do something that's that exact. Outside of the guitar riff.
There's a reason why the tour has the whole first album. And then they throw in a few hits. They know what their fans want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys are not understanding what I'm saying. I don't care if you do the sound, that's your signature sound. But to write a song that's so like something that was so big already.
What's to understand? I understand that. We're not dummies.
Well, no, you're on my side.
I agree.
All right, well, anyway, so if you're in L.A. area or you're heading up to L.A., please come see us at the Viper Room. And Redwood is the day after, so we've got March 7th at the Viper Room, March 8th at Redwood. And you're not going to be disappointed. there's going to be so many incredible bands playing on those nights.
Don't take too much ecstasy.
And the Sins and Bootleg Dan are holding court in L.A., and anybody in L.A. better be going to the show.
Well, you got Bootleg Dan is going to be like the bodyguard, manager, spokesperson.
Your bodyguard?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'd bring a gun.
Yeah, I'm going to put him in, like, leather, and, you know, he's going to have, like, a biker hat, and we'll rent him a motorcycle.
You should come, Brian.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
If I had the money, I would.
Well, come on, Dan's private jet.
Yeah.
You'll do that for
but
me, Dan?
You didn't know we were all flying out on Dan's private jet.
All right, save me a seat.
Yeah, we'll bring the Black Crows with us. How's that?
I told Dan the story of when I was bartending in this place once, and they had been playing like at a local college by me, and my bouncer went to go see him. He told me he was friends with them, and I thought he was full of baloney, and he brought him back to the bar, and I had the best time hanging out with them. They were programming our CD player. We were all hanging out after the bar closed. And I said to Chris Robinson, how do you get your voice like that? Like, what do? To keep your voice, you know,
whiskey and cigars.
Healthy? Yeah, and he said, a lot of whiskey and cigarettes.
Hey, see? I know a little.
There you go.
All right.
I love the cover of Little Miss Lost.
Oh, thank you. That was actually me.
I know.
Little Miss Lost, a long time ago.
I could tell.
Modeling a nudismo by the artist Renee, who was very well known in Soho in New York.
How old were you?
17. He didn't know that. He thought I was 18. I wanted to model for him, so I told him I was 18.
Mm.
Great, great picture, Cindy.
Yeah, good stuff.
Great.
And then that's a recent picture on the back, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't look like I get on the cover anymore.
But that's a very cute picture. That's a cute picture on the back as well.
Yeah.
Henry picked that one. I didn't pick it. Henry picked the pictures.
That photo was taken by the photographer extraordinaire Sherry Rubel.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yay, Sherry. She's phenomenal.
She's a magnificent photographer, and she's done a bunch of work, a bunch of fashion work, and she just captures people like nobody else can. She's a very talented woman.
So you guys are on Gem...
She's working with me.
You guys are on Gem Records, right?
We're on Gem Records.
Gem Records.
Marty Scott, Gem Records.
That's a pretty big name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Of course it is.
Well, Henry, you could speak to that because you worked for Gem for 5 years early in the day.
Well, yeah, back in the day, Gem was an import record importer. They would import records from the UK, Germany, all these different pressings, stuff that wasn't available in the U.S. And they would fly them over and, sell them to, you know, all these stores that aren't around anymore. Corvettes, Sam Goodies, Bleecker Bob's.
Strawberries.
They would just distribute nationwide. Things like when Cheap Trick Live at Budokan first came out, you could only get it on a Japanese pressing. And they would import these things from Japan, and they flew out like hotcakes.
Sounds cool.
They put Cheap Trick on the map.
They put Cheap Trick on the map?
Yeah.
Importing that record into the States did, yeah.
Now I got to play Cheap Trick, too.
Yeah, because Epic always used to water down.
You know
what,
you should play Southern
band.
Girls. Play Southern Girls by Cheap Trick. That'll...
I don't know if I know that one.
You don't? Oh, come on. Really? Off of